Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian drama called Derelict, starring Gene Herschelt and presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Our guest of the evening is a young man from Texas.
Not so long ago, my hair was so dry and it stuck out all over the place like a fluffed-out mop. Nothing I did seemed to keep it in place for long. Then one day, I tried Vaseline Hair Tonic. Gave my scalp a good massage with plenty of it before I washed my hair and shook on a few drops after the shampoo. What a difference that treatment made. Now I use Vaseline Hair Tonic before every shampoo. Plus a few drops as a daily dressing when I comb my hair in the morning. My hair is no longer dry and wiry, but soft and healthy looking. Easy to manage without having that plastered down look. So if there are any of you listening in tonight who have my old trouble, try Vaseline Hair Tonic.
It's safe to say that thousands of men have some sort of dry scalp trouble, whether it's dry, brittle hair that just won't stay in place, loose dandruff, or excessive falling hair. Vaseline Hair Tonic is especially made for combating dry scalp conditions. It contains absolutely no drying ingredients. Instead, it supplements the natural scalp oils. Try Vaseline Hair Tonic tomorrow. Banish dry scalp and start enjoying the confidence in your good appearance that comes with having a healthy, well-groomed head of hair. Vaseline Hair Tonic costs only 40 and 70 cents for long-lasting shaker-top bottles at any drugstore. There goes the curtain music, so settle back in your easy chairs now, because the show is about to begin. Gene Herschelt, our star, will be heard in his customary role of Dr. Christian. Red-headed Rosemary DeCamp will play Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, as usual. Grace Lenard plays Miss McFall, one of our hospital nurses. Joe Kearns is Jim Martin, a patient in the hospital. Eric Burtis is the boy Les, also a patient in the hospital. And Norman Field plays Sergeant Clemens, our Rivers End police force. The rising curtain shows the charity wing in the hospital with Miss McFall on duty. As Dr. Christian enters in company with Judy, he says,
any new patients in B-Ward, Judy?
Just one, brought in last night by the police ambulance.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Christian.
Good morning, Miss McFall. Judy tells me you have a new patient in the ward.
Yes, here's his chart.
Thank you.
He's suffering from acute alcoholism.
So I see. Right on you, Schaefer Rivers End.
He's apparently a transient. His name is James Martin. The police found him last night at the foot of Hickory Street.
And how is he this morning?
Jittery and difficult. He had a gold watch in his vest pocket. I have it right here in the drawer of my desk.
What, a tramp with a gold watch?
It's a fine watch, too. Oh, did you see the inscription on the back?
Yes, strange, isn't it?
What did it say?
To Tommy, 12 years old, from Dad.
He probably stole it someplace.
I wonder. Oh, you'd better put it back in the office safe. I guess I'll have a look at him.
Who is it? Is that you, nurse?
Good morning. How are you feeling?
Oh. Are you the doc?
Yes, I'm Dr. Christian.
Hey, look, why doesn't that nurse answer when I ring? Hey, tell me, who's got my watch?
Now, don't worry about your watch, Martin. I had it put in the safe. Now, suppose you let me examine you.
There's nothing wrong with me that a little drink won't cure. Do I get it?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, that's right. Torture me. Well, you've got to give me something.
Easy, Martin, easy. I'll give you a sedative. I'm only trying to help you break a bad habit.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've heard it all before. It's the same old line of malarkey.
Dr. Christian, you need it at once.
What is it?
An emergency case. A young boy. He looks bad.
All right, Miss McFall. Where's the boy?
Right in the next room. His temperature is 104 and pulse 120.
That sounds serious.
He was found wandering in the freight yards in a daze, delirious and blue with cold.
Don't let him take me back, no. No, please.
All right, son. Quiet.
Oh, what a shame. He's just a child.
Not more than 11 or 12. Hand me the stethoscope.
Yes, doctor. Well, Dr. Christian, can you save him?
I don't know, Judy. It may be hopeless, but a life so young is worth fighting for.
After 11.
His fever should have begun to drop by this time. And Miss McFaul.
Oh, she's going out to answer the light next door.
Where's the thermometer, Judy?
Oh, I'll get it. Here you are, Doctor.
Thanks, Judy. If his temperature isn't down by now, I'm afraid he's... What's that noise?
Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor. The patient next door is acting up again.
Oh, that tramp. I'm going in there and shut him up.
Hey. Hey, nurse.
I'm not the nurse. What do you mean by pounding on that wall?
Well, that nurse shut off my buzzer.
Because you made a nuisance of yourself.
I only want my watch. Belongs to me and I want it. Somebody in the next room's getting plenty of attention. All I get around here is the runaround.
Listen to me, worthless. That somebody in the next room is a ragged little kid with pneumonia. He hasn't any parents or friends. But Dr. Christian and the nurse have been fighting to save his life for the last 6 hours, and you...
Judy, you can go now.
Dr. Christian, he isn't...
No, Judy. He's going to be all right.
Oh, thank heaven.
You know, Doc.
Yes, Martin.
I'm sorry about the trouble I've caused. I didn't know about the kid next door.
That's all right, Martin.
You see, Doc, that watch is a keepsake. Well, it's all I have left, and if anything happened to it...
I think I understand. Don't worry. The watch is safe. You can take my word for it.
Ah, thanks, Doc.
Well, good night. Shall we go, Judy?
Yes. You look awfully tired, Doctor.
You too, Judy. You've earned a good rest.
What are we going to do with the lion, Dad? Danny asked. His father paused.
How would you like to have it made into a rug for your room?
Gee, that would be great, Dad. It'll remind me of the forest fire and riding the rapids and everything. It'll remind me, his dad smiled, of how lucky I am to have a son who hits what he aims at the first shot. Well, Les, that's the end of the story.
Boy, oh boy, was that good. Do some kids really have dads like Danny's? I mean, dads that make slingshots for them and let them keep pups they find and build tree houses and things?
Sure.
Gosh, that Danny's a lucky kid. I never knew anyone like him where I came from.
Where's that, Liz?
Oh, just a place.
But isn't there anyone who might be worrying about you?
No, they won't miss me.
Who's they?
Some people, that's all. No one you know.
No one I'm going to know either, I guess.
I guess not.
You're certainly keeping your past a mystery, Les.
Oh, it's Dr. Christian. Hi, Doc.
Hello, Les. Hello, Judy.
Hello.
Just thought I'd look in. Has Judy been reading you some good stories?
You bet. What about a guy called Danny?
Danny, eh?
Yeah, he's okay, too. He and his dad have swell times. Boy, they do everything. They're pals.
Judy, I prescribe another of the Danny books for our patient.
All right, Doctor.
I'm going to see Martin now. I have his watch for him. Goodbye.
So long, Doc.
Oh. Hello, Doctor.
Good morning. I brought your watch.
Oh. Thanks.
I couldn't help noticing the inscription to Tommy, 12 years old from that, and I just wondered...
Let's not talk about it, Doc.
As you wish, of course. But I would like to know something about you, Martin. What did you used to be?
Well, I was a newspaper reporter, later a writer.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if I'd ever read any of your stories.
Oh, probably not. It was kid stuff. You know, adventure stories around a boy called Danny Dean.
Oh, the Dan books? Yeah. I know them. They're great favorites with my younger patients.
Really? Well, I'm glad the kids still like them.
How can a man with your gift to entertain and give pleasure to thousands of boys let himself hit the skits as you have, Martin? I don't understand.
Don't try to understand me, Doc. I'm not worth the trouble. Hey, when are you going to discharge me?
Not for a while.
Why? You can't keep me here if I want to go.
Technically, you are still in the custody of the police.
I get it. You're going to try to regenerate.
No. No, I'm going to try to cure you.
The sickness I have won't respond to medication.
Well, perhaps not, but if I can't help you, maybe you can help me.
What kind of a riddle's that?
There's a boy in the next room, Martin. Who would rather talk to a man who knew Danny than me. I wonder if you wouldn't go in and get acquainted. Talk to him about Danny.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, just for a few
minutes. No, Doc, I don't want to see him.
It doesn't seem to be a great deal to ask of you.
Well, it is.
Very well, Martin.
Oh, no. Now, don't go, Dr. Christian.
Yes?
I'll tell you why I can't help you out.
Oh, you don't have to explain.
No, I'd rather you knew. See, 2 years ago, I had a wife and a son. We were all pals. We understood each other. Tommy, my boy, was about the finest kid in the world.
I see.
It was an automobile accident. I was driving. Martha and Tommy were killed. I didn't forgive myself. You see, Tommy was my martyr for Danny. When Tommy died, Danny went with him.
So you started drinking to forget.
Yes. Oh, don't you see, Doc? I can't talk to that boy. But then he'll open the old wounds. Bring back all that heartache and grief. Don't you understand?
Yes, Martin. I understand how you feel. And in a way, I don't blame you for anything. Top of the building, Jim. It's sunny and cheerful, and you'll meet some of the other patients.
Is that a recommendation?
I'm sure you'll like them.
Oh, sure, and they'll be crazy about a bum like me.
Oh, here we are.
Okay, wheel on, Doc.
Oh, hello, Doctor. I didn't expect to see you up here.
Hi, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Judy. Hello, Liz.
Hey, wait a minute, Doc. Is that the kid next door?
Why, yes, it is.
What is this, a flame-up?
Come on over here. It's well in the sun.
We'll be right over.
It's the last time you'll ever get me up here.
Oh, don't take it that way, Jim. Well, Liz, having a good time?
You bet.
This is Mr. Martin, Liz.
Gee, am I glad to meet you, Mr. Martin. Gosh, I sure am.
You see, Jim, I told Liz you were a friend of Danny's.
Oh, so that's it.
Did you really know Danny, Mr. Martin?
I suppose I did.
Boy, he sure is a swell guy. Miss Price just read to me about the time he saved the train from getting wrecked. You know where his dad had taught him the Morse code and they telegraphed ahead when the station master was shot?
Yeah, I remember.
Wasn't it lucky he knew the code?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Gee, how could a boy learn the Morse code? Well, I thought you had to be grown up to do that.
Well, it's not so hard. You could learn it.
I could? Oh, no, I couldn't. I haven't got any dad to teach me.
Oh, but you could teach Les, couldn't you, Mr. Martin?
I suppose I could.
Gee whiz, Mr. Martin, would you do it?
Sure, Les, I'll teach you.
Honest? Say, you're a swell guy, Mr. Martin.
You better call me Jim. Danny used to.
Okay, Jim. But tell me more about Danny. You know, some things that aren't in the books.
That's pretty hard to do. Almost everything is in the books.
Every single thing he did?
I'll try to think of something. Which book did you like the best?
The one where he got lost in the cave. Oh, boy, was that spooky.
Well, then you'd probably like to hear about Danny's adventure in the haunted house.
A haunted house? Hot diggity.
Near the river, not far from the place where Danny and Bud were chased by that big brown bear, there stood an old house. No one had lived there for over 50 years. It was gray and weathered.
Then suddenly, Danny and Bud heard a soft footfall on the other side of the door. Quietly, Danny crept toward it and he knelt down. He put his eye to the keyhole and saw another eye staring back at him from the other side.
Wow.
Well, that's enough for today, Liz.
Oh,
it's time for your nap.
Gee, I don't want to take a nap, but I want to know what was on the other side of that door.
So do I. But you do need your nap, Les. Come on, I'll wheel you back.
Yeah, I'll tell you some more of the story tomorrow, Les.
Well, don't forget now. I'll meet you up here.
Okay, it's a date.
Well, he's got a boy, isn't he?
Yes,
a fine boy, fine boy. And by the way, who was on the other side of the door?
Just heard the last chapter of the new Danny story. Oh, you should have seen Les when Jim worked up to the climax. His eyes were simply popping.
Oh, he's really wonderful.
That boy worships Jim, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it's mutual. Anyway, Jim is certainly a changed man. He asks for a typewriter, and every day he pounds away at it, getting down on paper the stories he tells Les.
It seems a pity that those two should be separated.
Separated? Mm-hmm.
Yes. The police have found the orphanage that Les ran away from, and Sergeant Clemens has taken him back on the afternoon train. Les, I want you to meet Sergeant Clemens.
Glad to know you, Sergeant. Sergeant, say, you aren't a...
Yes, a policeman.
I finally found out I was here. I knew it had to end. It couldn't keep going on like this, me having so much fun.
Oh, maybe things will work out somehow.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't give up hope, Les. Danny wouldn't.
Danny had a dad to help him.
Keep hoping anyway, Les. Something may turn up.
I'll be back about noon, Les. We're catching the afternoon train.
Okay. I'll be ready.
Goodbye, Les. Keep a stiff upper lip.
Nice kid. Too bad he has to go back to that orphan asylum.
Oh, a tragedy if he does. Well, Sergeant, I'll see you at the station. I'm going to stop in and talk to another patient.
Okay, Doc. So long.
Hello, Doc. Hey, look. Here's a new novel. All finished.
Finished? That's wonderful.
Got a letter from my publishers today. I wrote them I was finishing a new story and asked for an advance. Hey, look. A check for $500. I've asked the office to send me a bill.
I'm glad everything has worked out so well.
I got you to thank. Les, of course. Hey, what's wrong, Doc? I thought you'd be tickled to hear the news.
No, I am, of course, but... Well, I'm worried about Les.
Les? What's wrong?
The police have located the orphanage you're on the way from. He's going back on the afternoon train.
What? Why, they can't do that, Doc. A kid like Les, he's too good for that sort of thing. He'll stifle in a place like that.
Orphanages aren't as bad as they're painted, I guess.
Oh, can't you get somebody to adopt him? Oh, this is such a swell place to raise a kid. Isn't there anybody in Rivers End who needs a boy like Les?
Yes, I think there is.
Well, then why don't you do something about it?
Well, unfortunately, my hands are tied. Well, I'll have to make some calls. See you later.
Judy, where's Doc Christian?
Jim, how did you get out of the hospital?
I stole a pair of pants from the intern's room and climbed out a window.
What?
But never mind that. Where's the doc?
Oh, he'll be here any minute. But what's wrong?
What's wrong? Everything. Don't you know that Les is leaving on the 3:40?
Yes, I know.
In 8 minutes. You can't let that boy go. It's not right. It's inhuman. Oh, where in the world is that man?
Now, just hold your horses.
Yeah, but that cop, that sergeant, whatever his name is taking him to the station already. In a few minutes, he'll be gone. Oh, Dr. Christian, where in the heck have you been?
What is it, Martin?
Listen, I know I've been a bum and a drunkard and everything else the last 2 years. But you've got to fix it so I can adopt Les. You've got to. I understand that kid. I know more about that boy than anyone else.
Jim.
What?
Aren't we wasting time? Let's get to the station.
Quick! The train hasn't pulled out yet.
There he is! Way down at the other end of the station, see? Just about to get
on.
Yeah,
I can... Hey, Les! Les! I can't hear you!
Les! Oh, Les!
Hey, Les! Come back here! He's heard you.
Oh, he's turned. Here he comes.
Good.
Oh.
Good. I was afraid we wouldn't be in time.
Thank heaven he heard me.
Yeah.
Look at him coming running.
Jim.
Oh, Les.
Oh, gee whiz, Jim. I thought you'd forgotten. I didn't think you were coming.
It's all right, Les. I'll never let you get away from me again.
Hello, Doc. Hey, kid, you shouldn't have run off like that. I'll just have to take you on the next train.
Oh, no, you won't, you big flatfoot. This boy's staying right here.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to adopt you. You hear that, Les? We're going to rent a house here in River's End. We're going hiking and fishing and hunting together. I'm going to get your dog and a bicycle. We're going to have the time of our lives.
Gee, Jim,
Do you mean that, honest?
You bet I do.
Does that mean that from now on I call you Dad?
You bet it does, son.
Oh, the minute I'm going to bust out crying. Would have been awful if we hadn't gotten here in time.
Not so awful, Judy. I gave Sergeant Clemens instructions to get off that train at the next station if we weren't here in time.
Again in River's End as the curtain descends on our Dr. Christian drama for this evening. Our star, Jean Hirschold, will be out in front in just a moment to tell you about next week's play. Meanwhile, I have a few words about the products that make this program possible. If you were asked to name the important organs of the body, chances are you would forget one of the most important of all, the skin. It helps to regulate body temperature, get rid of waste materials, and it is your greatest safeguard from infection. When you realize how important the skin is, you realize why even minor hurts and irritations, burns, cuts, scratches, chafing, and chafing deserve prompt care. Vaseline jelly has proved itself an aid in caring for these everyday skin problems because it does three important things. First, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural oils. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And third, it soothes and promotes healing. Do as 9 out of 10 Americans do. Keep Vaseline jelly handy. It costs only 10 cents for a generous jar or tube. Ask your druggist, too, about the Vaseline specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. And remember, when you buy, to look for the trademark Vaseline. It is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Jean Hirschold, our popular Dr. Christian. What's next week's story like, Dr. Christian?
Well, next week we are going to do a play called Chicken Supreme. It's a story about a plain old stewing hen named Ella. I remember last spring when I brought her to my office, cooped up in a soapbox with a couple of slats over the top. Oh, she was mighty indignant about the whole thing, and when Ella got mad, she was the most violent chicken you ever knew. And then one day...
Hey, wait a minute, Dr. Christian. Save your chicken supreme for next week. Our time is up.
All right, Art. The next Wednesday night, then, at the same hour, I'll say good night.
The second in a series of RKO pictures based on this radio program has just been completed. It's called The Courageous Dr. Christian, and Jean Hirschold is starred in the title role. Be sure and watch for the release date at your local theater. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.